Our first testament reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. If you'd like to follow along, it's in your pew Bible on page 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. The word of the Lord.
So kids, I am going to ask you to help me with our second scripture reading this morning. We're going to tell the Pentecost story that is in the book of Acts. It's in the second chapter, verses 1 through 21, if anybody out there wants to follow along. And yes, this is participatory for all of us. No worries, you get to play along. So on the day of Pentecost, all of the disciples were gathered together in one place. So can all of you sort of scooch together, maybe over here? Let's all gather together in one place. See how close we can get together. And they were all gathered together because they were in Jerusalem. They were afraid, right? Jesus had been killed. Jesus had risen from the grave. They were confused. They were maybe a little scared. And Jesus had told them to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came. So they all gathered together, and they're gathered together waiting. And then they were there, and they heard a sound like the rush of a huge wind. So we're going to make the sound of the rush of a huge wind. So I'm going to ask you guys right over here, can you kind of do this with your hands? This is a little bit of wind sound. Good. And maybe those of you on this side of the sanctuary, if you can put your hands together, kind of make a little wind sound. All right, there's a little wind, and so then I'm going to ask you guys right here, keep going with your wind sound, don't stop. You guys right here, if you can do the shh sound, can you make shh sound? And you guys on this side of the sanctuary, if you can go shh too, you get a little, keep your hands going out there, don't stop, shh. Good, okay. And then this is a little more wind, but we need a huge wind, so I'm going to ask you guys right out here to make a woo sound, okay? Woo, there we go, okay? Maybe a few of you out there can make the woo sound too, all right. There we go. Now we have a huge wind. And then there were divided tongues like fire on top of their heads. Can you all make fires on top of your heads? Good job, Charlie's got it going already. Fire on top of your head. Excellent. And then do you guys know what happened next? Anybody remember? Next, the disciples were able to speak in different languages. Do you guys, do any of you know words, or maybe you know all of another language besides English? What's a word that you know that's a different language? Buenos dias. And what language is that? Spanish. Very good. Evan, what do you know? You forgot us? Okay, yeah. What? Ni hao, and what does that mean? It's Chinese. Okay, hello in Chinese, yeah. Aloha. And what language is that? Hawaiian. Very good. Yeah, do you know one more, Charlie? Hola. And what does hola mean? Hola means hi in Spanish. So the disciples were able to speak all these languages that they didn't even know so that people could hear and understand what they were saying. So what do you think they were saying in all these other languages? Were they talking about what's on the menu at Burger King? What's that? They were talking about Jesus. They were telling everyone all the amazing things that God had done in Jesus Christ. And all of the people who heard them were amazed because they said, these people don't know my language. How are they able to speak my language? So show me your best amazed face. What do you look like when you're amazed? Oh my goodness, that's right. Oh, these are great amazed faces. Very good. So they were all amazed. But you know what? Some people just couldn't believe it. And so they thought that the disciples had been drinking and they were just acting silly, right? So Peter, you guys remember Peter the disciple, he stood up and he said, listen, everybody, listen to what I'm saying. He said, these people have not been drinking. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. That would be strange, right? So he said, I want you all to remember, because these were all Jewish people gathered, he said, I want you to remember what one of the Jewish prophets said, this prophet named Joel. He told you about what's happening right now. He said that God was going to pour out God's Holy Spirit on all of God's people, and that sons and daughters, just like you all, would be able to prophesy, would be able to tell people what God was saying and what God wanted, and that everyone, old men and young men and rich and poor, everyone would see visions and everyone would dream dreams and everyone would have the gift of God's Holy Spirit. And there would be other signs of God's power and that everyone who trusted in God would be saved. So Peter told all the people about Jesus, and that day thousands of people put their trust in Jesus, and the church was born. And that's why we celebrate today the birthday of the church, right? This is the word of the Lord. All right, and you guys can go out this way with Mrs. Merton. What happens to a dream deferred? Poet Langston Hughes pondered this question in the context of 1950s America, the Korean War, McCarthyism, and the beginning of the Civil Rights Movement. But Hughes began writing during the Harlem Renaissance, a period of hope and creativity among black writers, musicians, and artists. But he was criticized by other black poets and authors for parading the unattractive aspects of African American lives before the white audiences of America. Hughes's critics wanted to utilize the opportunity of the Harlem Renaissance to mainstream African Americans into American culture. They wanted to use their creative powers to show white audiences that blacks were equal in stature, respectable, intelligent, and gifted. Hughes, on the other hand, depicted people as he saw them, unique, individual portraits that did not always fit the image of the idealized American. During the same time as the Harlem Renaissance, a white writer named James Truslow Adams coined the phrase, the American dream, a term that became synonymous with equal opportunity and upward mobility. What Langston Hughes saw and wrote about were all the ways that this dream, the American dream, was bankrupt for people of color. The American dream for them was a dream deferred. While the term American dream was not coined until 1931, our country has struggled with this dream from the beginning. When our founders asserted that all men are created equal and entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, those rights were only given to the white men who were allowed to vote, not to women, not to Native Americans, not to slaves, and many other immigrants and minorities. Even as the dream of this nation was born, many other dreams were deferred. The struggle for the American dream, in many ways, is the struggle of Babel. It is the struggle to be one people with one language, one culture, one central power, It is the struggle to unify for the purpose of power and achievement. Now, most of us feel positively about these values because they have been our values for centuries. With unity comes power, which gives security and prosperity. We can be autonomous and self-reliant and successful. Who wouldn't desire these things? But God confused the languages at Babel for a reason. Because God knows the human temptation to act like God, to desire God's power, to assert God's authority. And God knows how devastating this can be for the whole creation. It was this dream of Babel that drove human beings to genocide in the Ottoman Empire, in Nazi Germany, Bosnia, Rwanda. The dream of a unified people, one race, one language, one central power, building a tower to the heavens, becoming so powerful that nothing they presumed to do would be impossible. Not even the elimination of an entire people. The Roman Empire had this dream of Babel as well. The Pax Romana, or Peace of Rome, had at its core the assimilation of conquered peoples. In the East, which included Jerusalem, Greek was the language of empire. With the exception of the Jews, all citizens were required to worship the Roman gods. Local customs, economic systems, and governments were supplanted by Roman clothing, manners, coins, and rulers. The Babel dream was one Rome, united across many lands and powerful beyond measure. But this unity came at a cost. Deferred dreams for conquered people. The Jewish dream of the Messiah, God's chosen one, was one of those dreams deferred by the Roman dream of Babel. They had been waiting and hoping for the one who would inaugurate God's supreme rule over all earthly powers. Numerous Jews with messianic aspirations arose around the first century, and all of them were quickly snuffed out, including a Galilean named Jesus. People had hoped that Jesus would be the one to redeem Israel from its slavery to Rome. They cheered him like a conquering hero and flocked to him in droves. But as he gained the attention of the Roman authorities, some of his own people began to criticize him. He didn't follow the Roman custom of dining with only the most important people. He reminded the Jewish people that their first allegiance was to God, not Caesar. He taught with the authority of the prophets of old, not with the submission of an assimilated Jew. In order to achieve the dream of Babel, their identity as God's chosen people frequently had to give way to their Roman citizenship. Finally, the messianic dream was put to death on a cross. But it was revived 3 days later with the news of the resurrection. This dream of God's kingdom on earth, of salvation for all humanity, and now the added element of life everlasting, this dream was brought back to life. In the days between his resurrection and ascension, Jesus stoked the fires of this dream, promising a power greater than any earthly power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, that dream deferred, that dream that has been pent up for so long, finally explodes. It explodes in the rush of wind and in tongues as of fire. And the dream of Babel is subverted. The disciples, you see, do not share this dream in Greek, the language of empire, though that would have been the common tongue amongst all those living in Jerusalem who were there from the far reaches of the Roman Empire. The disciples and the crowd also don't suddenly acquire their own new language that could unite them all, though that would have been effective in communicating the good news. The power of this dream is the power of the Holy Spirit, which allows each person to hear in their own language the message of Jesus Christ, God's Messiah, the dream of God's people. The diversity created at Babel, the confusion of languages, stands. And God's Spirit gives the disciples the power to communicate across boundaries and without assimilation to the Roman Empire or to Nazi propaganda or to the American dream. The Jewish holiday of Pentecost celebrates the giving of the Torah, the formation of God's people. And so it is fitting that on this day, God once again formed a people out of the followers of Jesus Christ and all of those who gathered, who heard his message, and who trusted in him. And the truly miraculous thing, the thing that lets us know that this is not our work, this is God's work, is that on Pentecost, a people are made. They are unified, not through a single language or race or culture or government. They are powerful, but not successful. They are diverse and become more so. They are oppressed and become more so. And still, they are a people, and they grow. And God's dream is dreamed all over the world today. Prophets and visionaries and dreamers from all walks of life dream this dream of a Messiah named Jesus, of salvation for all humanity, of life eternal. There is little doubt that as a nation, we are still dreaming of Babel. We talk about wanting a united America, but united by assimilation to our values, our culture, our customs, however we each individually define them. We talk about bringing back the American dream so that we can be more powerful, more secure, more comfortable. But this comes at the cost of other dreams deferred. Oftentimes, our security is the result of someone else's instability. Our power comes from disempowering others. Our comfort comes at the cost of another's discomfort. This is the dream of Babel. And this dream is not just about politics and business. We dream of Babel every time we demand assimilation from our peers, our neighbors, and even our own church. Everyone who's lived through the seventh grade knows what I'm talking about. Dressing alike, using the popular slang words and catchphrases, sitting at the same table. It's all a dream of Babel. It makes us feel more powerful, more safe, more comfortable. And most of us don't grow out of that. But as Christians, this Babel dream is not our dream. We are those people born out of the Pentecost explosion, the people who dream of the Messiah who will inaugurate the reign of God over all earthly authorities. We are those people unified not by sameness or power, but by citizenship in the commonwealth of God, membership in the family of Jesus Christ, and trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this means that we live differently. We are not governed by the expectations of corporate America. We cross borders and boundaries. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to share the good news of Jesus Christ with every tribe and every nation. The Holy Spirit ignites us again and again to subvert the dream of Babel, to speak of the power of God, to relate to all those gathered in this place, in this city, this state, this country, from all over the globe, in all our diversity, beyond all our divisions. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it explode? Yes. Yes, it does. Thanks be to God. Amen.